Mary Ruddy, you're the project lead for the Higgins Project.
I'm one of the two co-leads with Paul Trevithick.
And Higgins is concerned with identity management. Can you tell briefly what is identity management?
Identity management is all about how you authenticate to applications and provide profile information to applications so that you know who's logging in and how you're servicing them. And
so effectively, it really is how I manage my identity, how I express to a system who I am, and that system can have some confidence that I am who I
exactly,
say I am.
Exactly. Knowing that you are who you are if you're going to do a high-value transaction, knowing that you're a human and not a bot when you're putting a comment on a blog or a wiki.
Yeah.
That stuff's really important.
Okay. So I guess the way that we most of us understand identity management now, or the way that most of us assert our identity, mm-hmm. is typically through a user ID and a password combination.
Exactly.
And with that, we are giving to a site, we're giving that information that uses to authenticate us, but it doesn't really know anything about us.
Right. A username and password is pretty basic. All it means is that you logged in before. It doesn't tell you what your preferences are. It doesn't tell you that we really know that you're Wayne.
Right.
And so it's pretty problematic if you want to do something important, whether it's visit a social networking site that's only for adults, or order beer or wine over the internet, or pay your taxes, or do anything that's really, you know, significant.
Yeah, I guess I find it funny that it's sort of the adult nature seems to be one of the first examples that always comes up, right? I want to assert that I'm an adult, and that almost sounds a little unsavory, but I guess not necessarily so.
Not necessarily. There are plenty of reasons why you might want to be able to say that you're a voting age, or that you...
Now I know that also some of the examples that I see with Higgins, one of the ways you assert your identity is by providing a credit card, right? So we may also be part of our identity is our credit card number.
Right now, because it's hard to know who people are over the internet and how old they are, a lot of sites that are supposed to check to make sure somebody's over 18 or 21 are using the credit card as a proxy, because mostly 5-year-olds don't have credit cards.
Sure. Now, but would I also be using this identity assertion with a credit card, would I be using that actually to affect payment as well, or is that further down the road?
You're talking about a whole bunch of things there. If you're saying, Mary, at some point in the future, do I think people are going to use information cards that are going to have credit cards embedded in them so that I'm not only authenticating, but I'm authenticating and able to do a transaction?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do think that that's going to be in the future. We're not there yet, but there are people who are looking at that and see that it's got a huge amount of potential.
Okay, so more basically, though, today I tend to keep this massive file of user IDs and passwords. But in the future, mm-hmm. And we're seeing websites that do this. Certainly, I see OpenID a lot, and I'm actually seeing the little card icons on more and more websites.
Yep, we're starting to have more and more websites.
But the idea, though, then is I assert my identity by providing cards that can be loaded with more information than just that.
Exactly. They can provide more information, or more importantly, a pointer to more information.
Okay.
So a lot more volume of information, and information that's been sort of certified by some other party. So I can walk up to a website and say, hey, I'm over 18, and if, you know, or I might be a dog, or I might be anything,
sure.
as I'm walking up to a website. But if some other important organization like Equifax says, you know, this is really this particular Mary Ruddy, and she's really lives at this address and has this age, so you should let her do X,
mm-hmm.
that has a whole lot more weight. And businesses are willing to trust certain card issuers.
Sure.
And rely on them, and even government organizations to say, okay, well, if Equifax is pretty sure who you are, I guess that's good enough for us too.
Now, can I also create just my own personal cards and assert myself to a website?
Absolutely, and that's really important, because this is all about user-centric stuff. So I may want to have some lightweight information about myself and my preferences for a social networking site or some group I'm part of, so I have my favorite sports and all that kind of stuff, and I'm going to change that frequently or change my style, and we support that too. It doesn't have to be just the heavyweight stuff. It's a full range.
So now I've noticed with the demonstrations that the card selector concept, mm-hmm. a card comes up and I select the card,
mm-hmm.
I don't do anything else. Like, I guess intuitively, I guess I would expect that I should have to actually prove that card is mine. But I guess it's really like a wallet. I have a wallet, and I pull out my card and my health card,
exactly.
And that's enough.
Right, and what we're saying is that when I first logged onto my computer, I did authenticate to my card. Now, that's already done, because I was already had my laptop open and was doing the presentation, so I'd done that hours
right.
ago.
Right, okay, so that's
important. But that is one step, and you can actually, if you're really paranoid, you can add extra layers on top of it. So you might select a card and yet still have to enter a password. So that then you've got two levels of authentication.
So I guess that's the quote-unquote real-world equivalent of my bank card, right? My bank card, I can use that to assert that I own that bank account and I am who I am, but I still have to enter a PIN.
You still have to enter a PIN, or you've got to do a signature for a credit card transaction. You've got to do a couple of different things.
So that's certainly possible.
That's absolutely possible. You can ask for another layer of username and password, or you can challenge them to answer a question, or you could even, with Higgins, there's a place where you could plug in an interface to a biometric if you wanted to go that far.
So now, though, when I provide a card to a website or even through the RCP selector to just an application, and there's actually three different versions of selectors?
We had three different versions in Rev 1, and we're still going to have multiple versions in Rev 2, again, because we've got different platforms and,
sure.
and different scenarios that we're trying to cover.
So now I assert myself using one of these cards, and maybe I have to do some provide a PIN number, but that mm-hmm. PIN number doesn't actually get provided. The website that I'm attempting to connect to only gets the bits of information I want them to get.
Exactly.
Right? So they're not going to be able to
really
impersonate me.
Important, right. They're not getting that. You're providing the PIN to your selector. If it's a managed card, then it's going off to a card issuer site that's got a security token service running, and it might use that PIN to go out and access your information in a database, wrap it up in a nice secure encryption
mm-hmm.
package, and then pass that to the website. And the nice thing about this is you can set it up so that SAML token or whatever that encryption package is that you're using will only have the information about you that you want to be passing to it. So rather than in the real world where you provide a driver's license, gee whiz, that's got your birth date and it's got your address. And
sure.
if I'm providing you my driver's license here in California, does that mean you can go rob my house in Northampton, Massachusetts because, you
sure.
know, nobody's home? Well, that's really a risky thing to do. We do it all every day, but it's not a great idea.
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if instead you can say, I really need to know if this person is over 18. They've got that information about you, that maybe full driver's license type information, but they're only passing back the bit that says over 18, yes.
Okay.
Because that's really all the website needs.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. So now, Higgins, to work in a browser, you've got plugins that
yes.
work for Firefox
and IE. And work in Safari for some of our browsers.
Now, is that something that you see in the future? Is this something that may be integrated just as part of the browser? Will it become part of Firefox?
We would love to do that, and the information card people as well as the OpenID people are working on this sort of thing. So obviously Microsoft controls one of their browsers, so they can make that recognize information cards, but that's the ultimate thing.
Ultimately, so at some point we're all likely just going to have this technology.
We're just going to have it. It's already starting to be there. So as we've said, Microsoft has been shipping this in Vista. Mm-hmm. You can get it with XP. Novell is shipping this with their SUSE Linux distribution.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still early stages, but it's starting to be out there.
Now, how much work is it for somebody to integrate Higgins into their site, their website?
There are a bunch of things that will RP enable or relying party enable a website. So Higgins got a package. There are also other open source projects that have packages tailored for specific little websites.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wanted to InfoCard enable MediaWiki, there's actually a plugin that's specially for information card for MediaWiki release, and it's very little work.
Okay, so from a web administrator's point of view, they install that plugin,
yeah.
probably a little bit of configuration.
Exactly, a little bit of configuration. You do need to decide what claims you need to ask for.
Mm-hmm.
Do I just care if I have an email address? Do I just want a first name and last name? Do I...
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You need to decide what you want.
Mm-hmm.
But the technology is starting to be really simple.
I suppose you could also assert that you only want managed information,
too. Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, you can even specify that you'll only take a managed card from a particular card issuer. So if you were a big company that had very big distributed operations and lots of partners, you might say, you know, I'll only take my own issued card. Or you might say, I'll only take something from an Equifax or other similar, you know, class of organization card. Or, as we said earlier, you might just take a personal card because all you care is that you're specifying preferences and that it's the same person who comes back each time. We talk about pseudonymity. So you need to really know that it's the same individual, but it doesn't matter who it is. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's enough.
So now, how much effort would it require for somebody to get these managed cards? Is it, I know I applied for an Open ID. I honestly can't remember who it was that I applied for, and it was a pretty painless process. But to go through maybe through an Equifax you mentioned earlier.
So it depends, again, you know, the nature of the card. The first card that Equifax denounced has a level 2 assurance. So they actually ask you quite a lot of questions. They go through two levels of sort of baby questions and then heavier questions to make sure it's really you. But there are other card issuers that do things that are very lightweight. Again, it depends what their business model and what they're doing.
Right. So, and again, depending on what kind of interactions I'm doing, like I guess I would assume that on my bank system,
you'd be a pretty heavy duty.
I would want a heavy duty validation.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. And then these wind up going into my wallet, and I can my virtual wallet. Mm-hmm. My virtual wallet exists on my laptop, on my desktop, on my phone.
Or it might be in the cloud. Yeah. Right. So again, different selectors can allow you to put it in different places depending on what you're trying to accomplish.
Right, and then I somehow manage the access to my. Manage the access to my wallet, and I can use it in multiple locations. And
exactly, that's the idea.
Great. So what's there's some new features coming up with Higgins 1.1.
1.1. Yep. So we've got a lot of work on selectors, making them a lot prettier, making them more consistent, making them a whole lot more polished. That's been a major area of effort. And, of course, we always do work on our identity attribute service, adding more plugins. The latest one is a Google Context plugin, and that's pretty cool.
What's that mean, Google Context plugin?
Google Context is a Google service, you know, can use to manage profile information. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to read and write speak that, now rather than going through the pain of doing that, you can just write to the Higgins IDAS layer and use a Google Context plugin, and it'll handle all that stuff for you.
So how can we learn more about Higgins?
Come to the Higgins webpage. Come and see Higgins presentations. There'll be some at RSA conference.
Where RSA is?
RSA is in San Francisco this year.
Okay. And that's, what's RSA stand for? For the acronym impaired.
No clue. God.
Is it an identity management conference?
It's a security conference.
A security conference.
Yes, the RSA software company, their conference got so big that it became its own legal entity.
Okay. Interesting. So the Higgins website is www.eclipse.org/Higgins. And you've given it a facelift fairly recently.
We have. We continue to iterate on it to make it look cool and better to understand, refactoring it and sort of dividing up parts of Higgins into, you know, better categories that are easier to understand so it's more digestible. Because we know there's a ton of stuff out there, and we appreciate that it wasn't always easy to find what you're looking for.
Thank you very much, and
thank you.
Enjoy the rest of EclipseCon.